Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a lot to get to today. Mike DeCourcy, one of the best in college basketball, will be with us at 10:20. Sporting News College Basketball Insider at TSN Mike. So with the news of the Raiders yesterday, I want to talk to Mike about the Final Four going to Las Vegas at some point. I think it's only natural. Peter King will be with us live from the NFL owners meetings at 10:35. We'll get the latest from the Monday morning quarterback, the best in the business, and Peter King. Two of the absolute heavyweights in terms of insiders. Eric's done a great job today in tracking them down. SI.com senior NFL writer Peter King. With the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, is it a matter of time before Vegas gets a Super Bowl? So yesterday what came down was not good news for Arizona when it comes to sports and business. It was not. It's pretty simple on this one. Las Vegas is going to build a state-of-the-art facility. They already have all the hotels in place. Vegas is more of a destination than Phoenix is ever going to be, even though I love living here. And I would never want to live in Las Vegas. Facts are that the NFL looks at Las Vegas, and college basketball has already looked at Las Vegas. You have the Pac-12 tournament there. You have the West Coast Conference tournament there. What's the other tournament that's up there? The WAC tournament's up there. So you have three, and the Mountain West. You have four college basketball tournaments already in Las Vegas in March. So the idea that Vegas, and yesterday I was in a lunch with a businessman tied into some things here in the Valley, and he raised the possibility of what's going to happen to the Fiesta Bowl down the road if Las Vegas gets this stadium built. And they're going to get the stadium built. So yesterday was not a good day in any way, shape, or form. If you're Arizona, and we love having big sporting events here. Yeah, I say we. I live here. I want to see big events continue here. This coming weekend, having a Final Four here for the very first time is terrific. But you tell me, if it comes down to Las Vegas versus Phoenix for a Final Four, Phoenix is going to lose out every single time. If it comes down to the NFL feeling as though a Super Bowl works in Vegas and the point that they're putting a team there, that's not good. So we're going to talk to Peter King about the Raiders move. And Peter's history on this whole deal, could you have imagined three NFL teams up and moving, just we're gone here in the last 15 months.
I think one of the few problems, Brad, that the Valley has when hosting these big events would not be a problem at all in Las Vegas. We saw it last year with the college football final.
Yeah.
Most of the media was in Old Town Scottsdale. Most of the events were in downtown Phoenix. The game was in Glendale. In Vegas, it's all right there.
Right.
They're going to have this gorgeous new basketball facility. You've got dozens of hotels, and there's enough space around the strip where you won't have to have everyone like spread out like in Phoenix. Because of the people that I've talked to that have come in for the event, that's the one thing that they don't like. And I think Glendale really gets screwed. I mean, they get the game, but they don't get any of the love.
No.
They just get the game.
In Phoenix. Well, no, it's actually in Glendale.
Exactly.
It's actually in Glendale, if you think about it. But, you know, and Eric and I both, so you guys are wondering, both of us are just fighting it today, where he's sick as a dog and I've got allergies and it's not looking for sympathy. We're going to fight through this show today. So if you're like, we sound a little off, there's a reason for that. I think yesterday was not a good day, Eric. If we're looking at things here in Phoenix in the future, we get big events all the time because there isn't anybody out on the West Coast. Now, when L.A. gets their stadium stuff figured out, you got to figure some of those events are going to go to L.A. just because of the media market size. San Diego is not a factor right now to Phoenix because their stadium's an issue and they pulled the team out of there. The NBA doesn't have a team there, so they're not a factor. The Bay Area, they're trying to become a factor. They are in with their facilities. But I think if you are objective about all this, it's not good. So I'm going to talk to Peter on that front. On the field, tomorrow morning, Bruce Arians is going to meet with the media. They do a breakfast here where every one of the coaches is available, and we're going to go out to that at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. They did the AFC coaches today. I just didn't see the need. So no offense to you if you're an AFC fan, deal with it. I don't need to go sit across from Todd Bowles and have him explain Josh McCown and the other six quarterbacks or however many they have. You know, Hugh Jackson trying to explain his quarterback situation at Cleveland. Come on. I'd rather sit and talk to Pete Carroll and say, wow, okay, so you brought in Eddie Lacy and you've got to push him away from the buffet table. Do you have your running back situation figured out? Or go see John Lynch tomorrow and get caught up on what's going on with the 49ers and all that. So, but Peter is embedded out there, and we'll talk with Peter. The games this weekend, I'm having a hard time wrapping my arms around just how good these games could, may, or may not be. South Carolina is the one team in particular that I'm looking at, and Frank Martin has got everybody excited because he's so out there, and he's different, he's unique, he's fun, he's this, he's that. But don't you just feel as though South Carolina is going to show up and wet themselves all the way down their right leg once they walk in on the floor and see the whole deal, that the run has come to an end? Now, you could easily say that about Gonzaga because they've never been here before. You know, Oregon, North Carolina, I don't know of many people that are going to pick the Ducks to win, and yet I think Dylan Brooks is the type of player, along with the parts that they have in place, that they can give North Carolina a hard time. This is not a star-studded Final Four. It's very intriguing to watch these four teams. I think it's cool to have fresh blood come into the mix. I don't necessarily need to have had UCLA or Duke in order to get excited about it. Even this North Carolina team, it's not like I look at them and say, wow, my gosh. I'm more into watching Gonzaga. I love how these teams have been put together. Look at Gonzaga. It's fifth-year transfer. It's a kid from down under. It's Karnowski with a beard that's longer than Zeus. And you have a coach in Mark Few that building a program that was nothing at all, and he stuck with it year after year. He stuck with it when others came and tried to pry him out. And he said, no, I am a startup. He's been a startup. I am a startup. I am not going anywhere. I'm going to stick through this, through thin and thin and thinner. And I'm slowly going to build it up, and I'm slowly going to bring in some players that are going to get us to a point. And we're going to go through some disappointment, but we're Gonzaga, and we're going to keep rolling with it because we are a national brand. And so I admire that, because Mark Few could have jumped a bunch of times. Trying to recruit. You guys ever been to Spokane? Recruiting to Spokane, Washington, that's not a little slice of heaven. It's not a terrible city. It's just like this little, it's like you drive through Chandler, Arizona, and that's it. Eric, you ever been to Spokane?
I have not.
I went through it last summer, and it took me like 10 minutes on the freeway.
Yeah, that was it's not very big.
No. Any of these teams do anything for you?
South Carolina is intriguing because they remind me of a late 80s, early 90s Big East team, where they're physical and they play great defense and they have this hard-nosed coach. But again, like you said, you wonder if the last thing we want is a blowout in a Final Four game. And it's not out of the realm of possibility to see South Carolina get blown out on Saturday.
I mean, the only guy that I watch really is Thornwell. That's it. It's not like I can give you five guys, eight guys. Lots of us can sit behind microphones and say, oh, this guy's great and this guy's this, because you just read something about him.
They were a pseudo bubble team of like 3 weeks before the tournament started.
Yeah. And so when I get this, well, the SEC is back in a big way, I don't see that. I think in Oregon's case, you had to get hot at the right time. And Dana Altman deserves a ton of credit because the narrative at Pac-12 in Vegas 3 weeks ago was, oh my gosh, they lost Boucher. Their season is over. Forget about it. Well, no, he rallied the troops on that one. They found a way because they've got a stud star player in Dylan Brooks. You look over at North Carolina, and that is a traditional power, and he's had to fight through some tough games. I thought the North Carolina-Kentucky game was a Final Four game. That felt like a Final Four game. We'll talk with Mike DeCourcy about that. The Diamondbacks wrapping up spring training, and our buddy Shelby Miller pitched yesterday. Shelby went 4 1/3. He struck out four, but afterwards talked about how he did not have a bunch of control, or his control was not great, being clear on this. And as they start their season on Sunday, I'm thinking 75 wins should be a good number for them this year, 75 to 78. If they get off to a dumpster fire start, then things are going to get interesting in a real hurry about what do you do with Zach Greinke and what do you do long-term about Paul Goldschmidt. That's just, those are two areas as we finish spring training this week. And you look at where the Diamondbacks are. There's not a whole lot of intrigue or mystery around this team. They weren't good last year. They have a couple of guys hogging up payroll or contract is coming up. Do they have the potential to be a surprise after 30 games and be, I don't know, 17-13 and feel pretty good about themselves? I guess. But you know that as this division unfolds, as the season progresses, we're going to have the same teams at the top doing their thing. We're going to have the Dodgers and we're going to have the Giants, and they're going to sit there and fight back and forth. And you're going to have Colorado and San Diego and Arizona trying to figure it out. That's just how it's going to go. There's some nice individual players, but come on. Anybody's look at the NL West this year, as we're sitting here on the 28th day of March, it's not like there's a whole lot of mystery around what we have here in Arizona. Yeah, there's been some nice moves by the new general manager, and you have a new manager in place, but we've gone through this song and dance many, many times. So until they're in a race on August 1st, or close to a race, or they're not dumping bodies off the roster the third week of July, I have to just sit here and take a big, long, hard view and say, this is what we've seen. I'm expecting nothing different. I hope I'm wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. It certainly won't be the last. Mike DeCourcy is next at TSN Mike, Sporting News College Basketball Insider. We'll talk with Mike about the Final Four this coming weekend. He will be here. I don't know how many Final Fours Mike DeCourcy's covered. It feels like I've been reading him for years and years, so it's got to be, you know, well over into double digits. Could Vegas be a Final Four destination? Would the NCAA ever allow that? We'll talk with Mike DeCourcy about Sean Miller's job this season, Bobby Hurley and Dan Marley too. That's all straight ahead. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. We're going to head out back to the NFL owners meetings in a bit. Peter King is scheduled to join us in about 15 minutes, but as promised, really looking forward to our next guest, Mike DeCourcy, with us at TSN Mike on Twitter. College Basketball Insider with the Final Four coming into the Valley. It is the busiest sports week of the year, it feels like, with spring training wrapping up, the Final Four, the NFL owners meetings. So much going on. Mike DeCourcy with Brad Sussmat. How are you, Mike?
I'm well. How are you today?
Mike, I got a little bit of this, I got a little bit of that, and right off the top, so the Final Four is here, you're going to be here, but I'm curious your view, as passionate, as knowledgeable as you are of the college game, a Final Four in Las Vegas, now that they have this stadium that's going to be built, we are very excited to have the Final Four here in Glendale. But is this a shot towards other Final Fours in the future? Could you see Vegas getting in the Final Four business?
That would be an interesting one. I mean, we've seen college athletics conferences, Pac-12, WCC, Mountain West, all embrace that as a venue without any trouble. It would be an interesting question for the NCAA, and I wouldn't. You know, I would have zero problem with it. I believe that gambling on sports should be legal in the United States. I don't think that we get anywhere with our approach to it. So I would have no personal problem with it at all. But I don't know. I don't know what the NCAA's view on that would be.
Mm-hmm.
It is a membership of its. You know, it is a organization of its membership. And as I said, that's, you know, we have 350 Division I teams, and that's about 35 minimum teams that are playing their conference tournaments. That's 10% of Division I playing their conference tournaments in Vegas already. So I don't know what their justification could be for saying, no, it's, you know, we don't want to go there. And obviously it's a terrific, you know, from a standpoint of hotels and,
yep,
and tourist destination and all that for a Final Four, it would certainly be interesting to see how it would go there.
Well, and I think I just was up there doing the Pac-12 tournament, and Jimmy Vaccaro's and Brent Musburger's are both doing their networks and all of that up there, and both of them said, if the Raiders come, look for us to go after the Final Four hard here in Vegas. And I think that is something that I'm in agreement with you, that gambling and sports, let's just call it as it is, and it is the popularity of it, but it makes a lot of sense. We're just curious down here because I think it is a dent in Phoenix's hopes of things like Final Fours and Super Bowls in the future. I'm curious, have you been in University of Phoenix Stadium before, Mike?
I've not. No, this will be my first trip there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Phoenix before and Arizona many times, but
sure.
Never to this particular stadium.
I don't get all wound up about backdrops and size of stadiums. I know that's an angle some people like to take. With these four schools, one of them having a lot of experience, at least historically, in the tournament, getting this far, three of them not. Do you think the venue makes any difference at all?
You know, it's the big. Yeah, it's literally the thing that like drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess not literally, but it's the thing that makes me craziest when I'm at the Final Four. So this literally is true. The thing that makes me craziest is when people ask questions about shooting in a dome. Makes me nuts. There is no statistical evidence to support the idea that they play worse in domes. There's none. I mean, Syracuse plays in dome, gosh, you know, 25 times a year, and they play fine. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, have there been times when particular domes seemed like they weren't as conducive because of the way it played out or whatever? The way it for a while, for instance, the Houston Reliance Stadium, really teams really seemed to struggle in there. And then last year when the tournament was played there, the Final Four was played there was no impact at all. So I don't know whether Reliant changed their lighting or whether just the changes in the way the games were being officiated now and more offense able to be run. I think 2011 was probably the worst offensive Final Four we've ever had, or at least in the modern era, and that's where it was played. But was that the way the game were played because the rules were bad? Or was that the teams were bad, or was it the stadium that was bad? We always seem to come back to the stadium, but I think it's nonsense.
How many Final Fours will this be for you, Mike?
This will be the 28th I've covered, and it will be the 30th I've attended. I went to one as a fan, and I sat up in the 20 rows from the top of the Superdome in 1987. And so when you see journalists write about the idea that the tournament should be in stadiums, and there was a column in the Wall Street Journal this week about that. When you see them write that, know that very few of them have sat 20 rows from the top of the
stadium.
That's
right. No, that's true.
But I did, and I would not trade that weekend for anything. Mm. Now, there are some people now who still say it's a waste of their time. That's fine. If you don't dig it, that's great. You know, do what makes you happy. Don't go back. Watch it on TV. But every year, 70 to 78,000 people show up for this thing. And it's not like it can't always be a different 40,000 or 30,000 sitting up there. It can't always be. And I had a person tweet me just this morning saying that he agrees with my support for the stadium concept, and he goes every year and sits up there. When I got into this is not a humble brag, it's just a story. When I got into the Basketball Writers Hall of Fame in 2012, my best friend from Pittsburgh came down, and he sat in the fifth level of the Superdome. He was on the sideline, way up there, like the very, you know, not the very, very top, but the next very top. And he loved his seat. He didn't complain even a little. He said it was terrific. So, you know, I think that people should be allowed the opportunity to be a part of what we're going to have this weekend. And the idea that of moving it to a basketball arena where the tickets would all of a sudden skyrocket to ridiculous prices and there would be so few, and so few for students and so few for the fans of the particular teams, it would just be ludicrous to go back in that direction.
Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN Mike. If you want to follow him on Twitter, he's a great follow, college basketball insider, the Final Four this weekend. 28 of these then that you have covered, I'm curious, you look at this field of four that are coming to Glendale, is this a really good field? Is this a mystery field to you? Sum up these four teams and just the narrative coming into this weekend from your view.
Well, it's what's different about it is the number of fresh teams, I guess. We don't often get that. I mean, even when we had Butler and VCU, we had Kentucky and Connecticut. Connecticut had won two by then, and it had pretty well established themselves as a big time brand in college basketball. And of course, Kentucky is Kentucky. And so, I don't know that we've ever had a final, or we haven't recently had a Final Four that felt so fresh. I mean, mm-hmm. Oregon only appearance in the Final Four was in the first in 1939, and Gonzaga and South Carolina have never been there. So there is a freshness to it, and I like that. You know, I it would have been maybe a little bit more fun if there's two possible outcomes with South Carolina. They're going to lose like everybody expects them to, or they're going to win and everybody's going to say, well, it's great that they won the championship, but boy, this turned out not to be a very good year because this is our champion.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So, I hope that doesn't sound condescending, but that's kind of where basketball people are. I mean, they didn't play like a champion all year long, and so it just feels kind of funny if they were to step up and do it now.
Before I get you out of here, whenever I have you on, I always like to get your view of what's going on in the state of Arizona. Obviously, none of the teams are in it, but Sean Miller's taken a lot of body blows in the last week since being eliminated in the Sweet 16. Your view of Sean and where the U of A program is?
Well, I did what I could, but people who don't know like to talk louder than people who do, I guess. As soon as I started to see that coming on after they lost, I'm like, oh, come on now. I mean, don't be ridiculous. But people prefer to be ridiculous. He's one of the great coaches in college basketball. And right now, Sean is getting the same treatment as Jim Calhoun got, as Gary Williams got, as Bill Self got. And two of those three guys are already in the Hall of Fame, and Self is probably going in this weekend. They're probably going to be announced as a Hall of Famer this weekend. It's ridiculous to say that somebody who is as consistently successful as he is not a good coach or is not a good enough coach. Arizona is blessed to have him, incredibly fortunate to have him. And one of these days, it's going to happen. He had bad luck in 2014 when he built the best team in college basketball. Bad luck to have that team damaged by an injury to one of its key players. If that doesn't happen, they probably win it all. They were the only great team that year. Bad luck in 2015, the following year, that the Pac-12 was terrible. And so Arizona winds up with a great team and few great wins. And as a result, they get punished by being a two seed. And Wisconsin comes out, and Wisconsin was great. I mean, were they better than Arizona? They were that day. If Wisconsin had been in a different region and Arizona hadn't had to deal with them, and they got to the Final Four and played in Indy, they might have won the game. Who knows? Because it's a different day. But they've had some bad luck. And on Thursday night of last week, they had a bad performance. Their freshman did not respond to the moment, and that sometimes happens when you have freshmen. But you can't win two conference championships in a year and say it's a bad year. I mean, that's not reality. That's ludicrous.
Bobby Hurley, the job he's doing at ASU in 2 years.
Terrific so far, absolutely. Changing the culture of the program, making them tougher. And not to say they weren't under Herb. I mean, Herb did a nice job, but it was, you need when it's time for a change, you have to change. And they have changed they've started to change their personality as a team, and they need more good players. And that, I'm sure that'll come. Bobby's brother's doing a great job at Rhode Island. Bobby helped him build that, helped him build at Wagner as well. And so I think, and Bobby did a tremendous job at Buffalo. So I'm sure that it's just a matter of, getting your guys in there and getting them experienced, and that, there's a lot of opportunity in the Pac-12. I mean, it's kind of a league that's sort of wide open for, teams to move up in. This year there were three really good teams, one pretty good one, and then everybody else was just there. And Arizona State could get up into the pretty good or really good category not very long from now.
Last question briefly. Dan Marley, have you seen enough of Grand Canyon University? Is he a factor?
I think that he's done a nice job, but I can't say that I've seen a ton of their games. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the Enterprise at Grand Canyon is a little different,
yep.
And so it's a different sell and all that. But No, I think he's a very promising coach, and I think that the program has done well.
Mike, appreciate the time. As always, an insight. Great to visit with you. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Good deal. There's Mike DeCourcy with us, Sporting News. At TSN Mike, college basketball insider. Really good stuff there on the Final Four this week. Peter King is next from the NFL Owners Meeting. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Out at the NFL owners meetings. We were out there yesterday, and of course this morning they had the AFC coaches breakfast. Tomorrow we'll be out there as well for the NFC coaches breakfast. Bruce Arians with wounded wing, as it were. There's Pete Carroll out there visiting with some of the people and dignitaries and all. That's a great scene out at the Biltmore. I will tell you that yesterday I ran into some Raider fans out of the Biltmore, and they were upset. There weren't many of them, though. I don't think this came as much of a surprise. I do think the big story, though, around the Raiders' move to Las Vegas for Phoenix, and to localize this, is the Super Bowl. I really believe that. I think the Final Four is going to look at Vegas. I was up there visiting with Brent Musburger and Jimmy Vaccaro a couple of weeks ago about this, and I believe now a Super Bowl in Vegas is what they would like to see. Peter King joins us now, SI.com senior NFL writer, the MMQB from the Biltmore at the owners' meetings. Peter, a Super Bowl in Las Vegas, is that inevitable after the news of the Raiders moving, in your opinion?
It's interesting. Jack Del Rio talked about that today for a good 2 minutes and talked about why he thought it was a great idea. And, you know, Brad, I'd say 10 years ago, if you had asked me what the verities of football were going to be in the rest of the time that I covered the NFL, however many years I had left, I would say one of the verities would be that there would never be a team in Las Vegas. And now, not only is there going to be a team in Las Vegas, but we're talking about putting a Super Bowl where the NFL, for years and years and years, treated as a dread enemy.
Is this a seismic shift in your view? What's gone on in the last 15 months, Peter, of teams moving, or is this just business?
I think it's seismic. I think that, you look back on this as sort of a relocation era. And I'll tell you why. I don't necessarily believe that it's done. And I'll tell you why, Brad. You know, right now there's a football team that plays in Santa Clara, California. Mm. Now, they're called the San Francisco 49ers, but for those who know the Bay Area, you stand on Market Street in downtown San Francisco, and the 49ers are an hour away. Hmm. Their games, you got to get in the car, and that's if traffic is okay. But the Levi's Stadium, it'll take you 55 minutes or so to drive there. Now there's going to be no team in Oakland. Now you tell me, in the sixth largest market in the country with 8.4 million people, and you tell me that on the southern end of that market there is a football team and there's not another team in this area that, some of the brightest people in the world live and develop. You're telling me that a Larry Ellison, a Mark Zuckerberg, one of those jillionaires recently minted out of Silicon Valley isn't going to say, hey, you know what? It's ridiculous that in San Francisco and Oakland, in the city proper of those two places, the nearest NFL franchise is at least 45 minutes away. It's ridiculous. And so that's why I think that the next on the horizon is what's going to happen in the next 5 to 7 years with the Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those are the two teams that, if I were their city fathers, I would be watching to see if some incredibly rich person in Silicon Valley, or just period, just said, you know, I'm going to build a stadium. I'm going to spend $2.5 billion of my whatever billion fortune without any public funding, and I'm building a stadium. All I want in return is I want the keys to a franchise. And, you know, we'll see if that happens. But I do think that it's tempting to say, well, this is done now. Eric Grubman yesterday the NFL's franchise mover, basically, said yesterday that that this is it. We're done with this period. Well, I'm not so sure, because you can't tell me right now what are the politicians in Western New York going to do to try to help the Bills, and what's going to happen, say, 5-7 years from now in Jacksonville, when the Jaguars say we need a new stadium, or they just, you know, Shad Khan gets tired of trying to make that thing work and basically says, I'm going to move my team.
Peter King, the MMQB from the NFL owners meetings over at the Biltmore. One last thought on all this, just from your view. Do you personally believe this is in the best interest of the league, what has gone on here?
It's in the best interests of the owners, and it's in the best interests of the business of football. It's certainly not in the best interest of the people who love football and the fans who love football. The fact that as we sit here today, there is not a football team in San Diego and there won't be one in Oakland is terrible for football, in my opinion. I'm not saying it's unavoidable, but I'm saying it's understandable. But I think it's really, really bad for football.
Okay, before I get you out of here, a quick thought. Where's Tony Romo end up? Are you tired of this topic? Do you see it coming to a conclusion?
My gut feeling is that Tony Romo is going to play for the Houston Texans this year, but it is no more than a gut feeling, because I think Tony Romo is rightfully, intelligently would consider a great job in television.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would always have part of his, part of his life would feel a little bit empty because of that. But I do believe that that's the most likely scenario. If not, I think I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up either with CBS or Fox, because obviously there's an opening at Fox, number two opening after John Lynch went to the 49ers. But, you know, beyond that, I just think I think that Romo really would like to give it one more shot, Brett.
Okay, two other quarterbacks, Kaepernick, Jay Cutler. What happens?
I think Kaepernick eventually will find a team. I think he's hurting himself right now by basically shutting up. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there who wonder who he is right now.
Mm.
His agents evidently, and look, I don't know who leaked the thing to Adam Schefter at the Combine that said he would now stand for the anthem, but somebody did. And, you know, but we haven't heard a word from Colin Kaepernick. I don't understand why, if this guy really wants to play football badly, if he's not out there, and I don't even mean selling himself, but just saying, here's who I am, here's what I'm going to do, and here are my plans. I don't know why he wouldn't do that, but he hasn't done it. And we'll see, but I think he'll end up somewhere. And I think the reason we don't know why, where right now, is because the game of quarterback musical chairs is not finished yet.
Right, right. Same with Cutler. Cutler end up somewhere?
Cutler's a weird thing. Cutler is going to, obviously, I'm sure he's been humbled by this whole process. Somebody is going to have to figure out if Cutler would be a valuable enough backup quarterback. He seems like a surly, moody guy to the people in the NFL. I think that somebody would have to be convinced that Cutler was going to be a team guy and help the number one guy. Everybody says, well, geez, Josh McCown got a job. Why can't Cutler and Kaepernick got a job? Josh McCown, more than any quarterback I've met in 33 years covering the NFL, is the most unselfish, coach-like backup quarterback I've ever met. And I met a lot of them. Frank Reich, I could name 20 of them. But Josh McCown has a job because of all the other roles he will serve on the New York Jets this year.
Peter, as always, appreciate the time and insight. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Take care.
Peter King with us, the Monday morning quarterback at the Biltmore at the NFL owners meetings here in the Valley. Great stuff there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So Donald Trump turned down the Washington Nationals to throw out the first pitch. But Donald Trump has played 14 rounds of golf since becoming president of the United States. Is that, should that mean anything to anybody? Does it mean anything that Donald Trump goes and plays golf at Donald Trump golf courses since becoming president? It's the business side of the president. The president needs a break. The president needs to get away from it all. He's been in office just about 2 months, and he's played golf every weekend to get away from it all. Should the president be looking at throwing out a first pitch? He says he has other business obligations, so he is not able to throw out the first pitch. He declined the offer. For more than 100 years, presidents have thrown out the ceremonial first pitch at baseball games on opening day in Washington, D.C. Now, the key word is they occasionally do it. They don't do it every single year. Trump, I saw a story where Trump was critical of the Nationals not giving Steven Strasburg a big contract a few years back. I hate it when people go back on a Twitter timeline from like 5 years ago and pull somebody's tweet that they wrote and publish it and say, see what a dumbass this guy was. All of us, it's our opinions at the time, and they're not going to take our stuff that we were right on and put it out there. And you have a lot of time on your hands if you're going to go back on somebody's Twitter timeline and pull off a tweet that they sent out and do a story around it and publish it. So, I mean, for Trump to, from 2012, he put that the Nats were going to regret not signing Strasburg to a long-term deal. I mean, I don't care one way or the other if the president does throw out a first pitch or not. It just seems so polarizing, doesn't it? Like the amount of times he plays golf, why do I know that? Because people are making a big deal out of him going out and playing golf. If you're a Democrat, you hate Trump. If you're a Republican, you love Trump. And that's pretty much how it is. It's been an interesting couple of months for sure, for certain. But our president trying to be drugged through sports and being analyzed through sports like he should be taking his job more serious because he plays golf, please. Some people read books. Some people go for a walk. Some people work out. Some people play golf. I just, I get a little fatigued where it just always has to be something about what's going on with our president. You know, there was a time here on this show, and we haven't done it in a while because times have changed where having Senator McCain on or having a political to come on was appropriate. It's at a point now where it's not appropriate because there's so much stuff going on every day in our country that they don't want to get the criticism of always talking about a game. You know, what does Donald Trump have to gain by standing out on a mound and throwing a ball other than people are going to say he should be tending to presidential affairs on one hand? On the other hand, if he doesn't make a good throw, people are going to rip him on that. So it's just nonstop. Every day. But this has become a big story today that he has turned down Major League Baseball to throw out a first pitch. I'm just fine with this. I just am. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Pro College, high school, college pro. We are diverse and we're nimble. We're all over the place. Could be a high school track meet as easily as a pro story, as easy as Peter King or Mike DeCourcy or things that we see on the recruiting front. We have our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, 14 airings over the next 3 days. We appreciate our partnership with Fox Sports Arizona, our partnership with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. And, of course, we appreciate our sponsors and you. Please support the people that support us. Thanks for being with us.